When Damon Tweedy began medical school, he envisioned a bright future where his segregated working-class background would become largely irrelevant. Instead, he found that he had joined a new world where race is front and center. Black Man in a White Coat is his book that examines the complex ways in which both black doctors and patients must navigate the difficult and often contradictory terrain of race and medicine. As Tweedy transforms from a student to practicing physician, he discovered how often race influenced his encounters with patients. These issues take on greater meaning when Tweedy is himself diagnosed with a chronic disease far more common among black people. Tweedy explores the challenges confronting black doctors and the disproportionate health burdens faced by black patients, ultimately seeking a way forward to better treatment and more compassionate care. The name of the book, Black Man in a White Coat, A Doctor's Reflections on Race and Medicine, and we welcome Dr. Damon Tweedy to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Graduate of Duke Medical School and Yale Law School, assistant professor of psychiatry at Duke University Medical School, and a staff physician at the Durham, Virginia Medical Center. Give us an idea of what you wanted to accomplish with the book and some of the questions that you wanted to answer.
Well, you know, race is obviously this really highly charged political issue that we're dealing with quite a bit nowadays, but for a long time. I came with this book from a very personal standpoint. I was attracted to medicine because really I had this envision of it being science and, you know, everything just being logical and linear and sort of the subjective things, the messiness of race would kind of, I could escape that in a way. But when I got to medical school, I just sort of saw in many ways how important race was. First you learn about diseases and they're talking about this disease, that disease. It's always more common in black people and black people have worse outcomes depending on the disease. And that was sort of the kind of refrain you'd hear, but it was like, why? That was sort of the question that I was grappling with. And why, and then also what can we do about it? So I think a lot of the book is really sort of a discovery, like a journey of learning about this as I got into the real world and started seeing patients and seeing the many different ways that race influences health. And that was a big part of it. That's probably the biggest part. The second part is that I really wanted to also had a different perspective as a black doctor and how people perceived me. So they're really those two kind of interwoven stories that I talk about in the book.
How much did your own illness play into it of putting you into a position to say, okay, this is something that I really want to explore?
That's a huge part. So in the beginning, you're learning about all the diseases from a sort of intellectual, scientific way, but then there was this personal meaning to me. My grandmother died about a month into my first year of medical school, and she died from the same diseases that they were talking about being so much more prominent in black people. And then about 6 months after she died, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure and early signs of kidney disease related to the high blood pressure. So that was a great shock. I mean, I was a young at the time I was 23, thought I was very healthy, thin, and I was using my weight as sort of the indicator of how healthy I was, but I was really eating terribly. And so that was part of the journey that I had to sort of explore, and that was a huge part of me really wanting to tackle this issue.
And how much did, in tackling this issue, how much did you learn, and specifically what did you learn, about the health problems that affect African Americans specifically, and ultimately the way that we care for them or don't care for them in the manner that we should?
Well, there are a couple of things. I mean, so, you know, the professors, again, it was like there wasn't an answer that they were able to really offer. It was like, we don't know, that's just the way it is. And what I kind of, as I got out there into the real world, I saw that, you know, a lot of times black people are getting care in very different settings. So early in my medical school career, we went to this charity clinic about 90 minutes from campus. The patients there were all black. They didn't have health insurance. And, you know, it was pretty clear that you were giving a different standard of care. I mean, the clinic wasn't even a clinic. It was like a one-room house. And the patients couldn't afford the medications, the treatments, the lab tests that they needed. And it was just clear that there was a totally different standard of care that was being provided. I mean, you would go out there once a month. So, I mean, there are a lot of things there at work. Another issue is just the doctor-patient relationship itself. Doctors, you know, there's a really bad history in terms of African Americans in the healthcare system. 50 years ago, we had segregated wards. Experiments were being placed on African Americans without their consent. It seems like a long time ago, but that really still affects how people perceive the healthcare system now. And so I think in many ways you'll find African Americans all being very reluctant and sometimes even afraid when they encounter the healthcare system as to what to expect. I think that's a huge part. So I think a big part of my story is about doctors and patients making connections and really sort of trying to, you know, mitigate this awful sort of history that we do have.
You write about this in the book, but the decision to go to medical school, I mean, you go and you are the recipient of a scholarship, which is ultimately designed to increase Black student enrollment. You go, and you know what? One of the first things you encounter is a professor who starts to question as to why you're in medical school in the first place.
Yes, so you know, that was about a month into the first year of medical school, and then I'm walking into the classroom, and the professor comes up to me in a sort of irritated, angry way. It was a really bad case of mistaken identity. He felt that I was the sort of handyman that was there to fix the lights in the classroom. Remember, it was a really, you know, bad case of mistaken identity. And, you know, yeah, it was really hurtful. And so it was with that particular incident, I was struggling to figure out why he did that, you know, what that meant, and what I could do about it. Because, you know, you complain about it, but people might not perceive it that was a racial issue at all, and that you're just being too sensitive. So in the book, I really talk about how I dealt with it and how I struggled with that particular situation, beginning at the very outset of medical school. Because I was already sort of insecure about being there anyway, and then that just sort of really just added fuel to that fire.
You do that in the book, but you also look at it as a way of crystallizing that story sort of crystallizes the challenges that you face throughout your career.
Sure. So that was sort of like the opening act. Another one that I talk about in the book in some depth was a time that I was a young doctor at this point. So I just finished medical school, and now it was my first year as a doctor. And at the hospital, there was a patient who didn't. I was the only doctor, Black doctor, in the hospital service at the time. But this patient was admitted to our team, and he used racial slurs to indicate how he did not want a Black doctor. So that was another pretty harsh reminder of this different way in which people perceive you. There's a part of you that just wants to be like everyone else, but then there's sort of these reminders that things are different. And so I talk quite a bit in the book about that experience as well, and how I had to sort of tap into a perseverance and, you know, that I didn't necessarily know that I had. And that's really a lot of what those stories are about.
Is the situation, the commonality among doctors, is it becoming a better situation for both Black patients and Black doctors?
Yeah, I would say things have certainly improved in the last, you know, 20 years since I started. I don't think there's any question about that. I do think, though, that there's still significant progress that needs to be made. So in the final chapter, I sort of talk about taking stock. Like, so there have been changes at Duke. You know, Duke is, in some ways, Duke is just one example of what's happening at many places all over the country. So there has been significant progress, but there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. And the book really kind of explores that as well and what we can do about it.
You look at the Affordable Care Act. Do you think that that's helping or hurting?
Well, no, I would not say it's hurting. I think the first thing to take a step back is to realize for people how important health insurance is. I mean, I saw many times patients delay treatment because they didn't have health insurance, and then end up presenting to the clinic or hospital at much later stage of disease, and so that's a huge factor. And often the other aspect of that is that when people who don't have insurance then wait and get sick and they need immediate care, I've seen the flip side where then it causes economic ruin for them as well. They lose their home, they lose their cars, all those other sorts of things that happen. So having health insurance is a really big deal. So I think the goal of the Affordable Care Act to extend health insurance was certainly a good one. The it's gotten so partisan and in such an awful way. And as a person who understands politics a little bit, I understand that. But as a doctor, you take a step back and you think about how everyone gets sick in the same way, whether they're a Democrat or Republican or an independent. So it's just really incredibly frustrating that we're still having this sort of gridlock over an issue that seems relevant to all of us.
With that in mind, I mean, you make the point that the disparities you see between white patients and Black patients in medicine are more socioeconomic than racial.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's so hard to disentangle the two of them because they've been right. So intertwined for so long. But certainly, there is a big component. Probably the largest component at this point would be socioeconomic. But that said, there's still, I mean, there's such a fine line in drawing that distinction. The best example of that is with me as a patient one time. I was injured. I injured my knee, and I went to an urgent clinic, and I was coming from home, and I was dressed sort of casually, and the doctor initially didn't look at me or really offer an exam. And then once I expressed that I was a doctor, everything changed. And so, you know, even though I'm of a, and so suddenly, you know, I got a physical exam, I got x-ray, everything just sort of completely changed. And it was like being two different people at the same time. So race and class are so intertwined. It's hard to, someone like me who may be considered a higher socioeconomic class now, certainly came from a lower socioeconomic class, and there's still the potential for me to be perceived that way. So it's really hard to separate those out in many ways.
You talk about in medical school that in lecture after lecture that what you hear over and over again when it comes to diseases is that it is more common in blacks than whites. You wanted to explore that as well.
Yes, absolutely. And it's just trying to understand and make sense. So I think there's several pieces. So we talked a little bit about how there's this sort of system level, sort of socioeconomic level where black people are less likely to have health insurance. They're more likely to live in communities where there are less access to doctors, less likely to have a doctor who can care for them. And then there's also this other piece where if you're cut off from society in many ways, you develop your own kind of ways of living, and so one of those is as far as food, right? And so I think in the book I talk to a great extent about myself and how I struggled to change my diet in ways that I felt might be, quote, white. So there's this internal resistance that I was fighting as well, even as a knowledgeable doctor. And so I think there's sort of this individual kind of cultural level issue as well. So all these things kind of work together to work against the health of African-American people. But in the book I really talk about ways to sort of try and get out of that and try and, you know, move towards a better future. So that's really where I'm coming from.
The name of the book is Black Man in a White Coat, A Doctor's Reflections on Race and Medicine. It is published by Picador. Dr. Damon Tweedy, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. Great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, Black Man in a White Coat, A Doctor's Reflections on Race and Medicine. It's published by Picador. Dr. Damon Tweedy is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.